kills a lady back there. Hit her on the head a couple times. We don't do a big deal about make sure you get her seed faith vow for healing. Yeah, we can do that. Sure thing. Okay, Daniel 11. And let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand your words, and I do ask you to help us to understand the doctrinal viewpoint of them, and help us to see that this Bible is written primarily for doctrine, secondarily for instruction. We get to benefit out of instruction. You get to benefit out of the doctrine. Help us to believe your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Daniel 11. I think we got down to 23, 24, about in that range. Okay, go back a couple pages if you would and look at chapter 10, verse 14. Remember that most, be it good, be it bad, that teach the Bible, teach it from an instructional viewpoint, devotional, practical, things like that, which is fine. But when you look at the Bible from a doctrinal viewpoint, you're looking at it from a heavenly viewpoint, and God gets the benefit of the doctrine. Remember, it's his book. Okay, and in Daniel 10, verse 14, this angel is interpreting a vision that Daniel had, and he gives the time period of the vision. Daniel 10:14. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Okay, so that's part of the vision that he saw. Remember, the previous major prophecy is in chapter 9, 24 to 27. That's the first time the word prophecy is found in the Bible where the prophecy is described. Then chapter 10, he talks about latter days. And then chapter 11, verse 1, he adds to that where it says also. So he is continuing the idea of this latter days. Okay, and then he's continuing this into the most important doctrine of the Bible, which is the second coming of Christ. So if we look at Daniel 11 historically, that's how most would view it. But if we look at it doctrinally, we will see some information about the Antichrist and how he works or will work. Okay, to verify this idea of this jumping into our future, jumping into the tribulation time period, we should find certain words. Okay, if you would look in 27 of chapter 11, after the colon, for yet the end. For yet the end. You'll see that again in 35, about 3/4 into the verse, even to the time of the end. Verse 40, at the time of the end. A little kind of repetitive here. So he's trying to get a point across. 45, toward the end, he shall come to his end. That'll be the Antichrist. So we're dealing with what the Bible calls the last days. The last days in the Bible, if you run it 8 times, is always referring to the tribulation, the end of the tribulation, starting the millennium. That's how it's always used. So we're going to read some things about how the Antichrist will operate. I think we got up to verse 23. Okay, so this is a prophecy of the Antichrist. It's a prophecy of end times. Verse 23, after the league, okay, league, nobody uses that word anymore, right? Little league, baseball league, that's a King James only word, just to throw a little sidebar there. Okay, made with him. He shall work deceitfully. So the Antichrist will be able to deceive the entire world the first 3.5 years of the trib. Revelation 12:9. Everybody will get hoodwinked. Some people think, well, you know, I'm going to see through it. Don't bank on it. if they're not going to receive salvation by grace through faith in this age, they're not going to receive it in that age when martyrdom is most likely required or part of it. So, because it jumps into tribulation time period, deals with a different doctrinal time period. For he shall come up and shall be strong, notice, with a small people. And I think this is where I left off. It's amazing to me how relatively few people control or influence the world. The Rothschilds, the Bilderbergers, the G20s, okay, or whatever number they're on nowadays. Okay, it's amazing, and you'll see this in the news industry, which is not news, it's propaganda. It always has been propaganda. It will be propaganda. It will continue to be. They don't tell the truth. If they do, it's an accident. Okay? In 1957, this guy won a big award for the news industry, and he gave an acceptance speech, and he basically said, "We all know we can't tell the truth. If we do, we'd lose our job." That was 1957. I do believe it's gotten worse. Okay, you'll hear the same talking points from CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, and all CBS with the all-seeing eye, okay, and all that stuff. Okay, it's the same talking points. Why? Because it's programming our thinking. The medium is trying to control our thinking. It's a mind control from a normal viewpoint, a mind control, where you got to get into terrorism and torturing people to get a complete, absolute mind control. It says, shall become strong with a small people. Now, Jeroboam and Rehoboam, remember that Jeroboam, remember it says, see, they're already coming after us. I knew it. They're going to check us out. Okay, Jeroboam, remember the type of people he put in to be priest? It says the lowest of the people. The real low-life scumbags that'll sell their own mother out for nickel. So it's a small people, relatively very small group. If you want to go with the Illuminati, that's fine. 12 families, Bilderbergers, that's fine. Probably that crowd, you can go with a Jesuit priest. The Jesuits have been trying to manipulate things for years in this country. Samuel Morris warned Americans about it in the 1850s. Samuel Morris wrote a booklet, a treatise, I guess you could call it, warning Americans about the Jesuit priest. And so that was interesting. Okay, then he says, he shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province. Remember in the Bible, fattest is the best. Okay, peaceably. So we have our peacekeeping troops. And he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his father's fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches. Yea, he shall forecast. Now that word there, forecast, nobody uses that anymore, right? Weather forecast. That's a King James only word. So the King James Bible is not out of date. It's far advanced. The new Bibles are out of date. So he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time. A singular time. Revelation talks about time times half a time. He forecasts his devices. Now, this is what's called divination or consulting the stars, okay, where people and friends in high places do this quite regularly. This is where we get the term an inaugural address, an augur, A-U-G-U-R. That was a Roman priest that studied the body parts of birds to advise political figureheads, okay, where they consult these beings. Remember, some of us are old enough to remember when Nancy Reagan consulted the stars when Ronald Reagan traveled around, and some of us remember that Hillary Clinton talked to Eleanor Roosevelt, for advice, two bisexuals, whatever, okay, talking to each other. She's been dead for years. So they don't hide, this stuff is not well broadcasted, but once in a while they let it out. So the Antichrist is going to do this also. He's going to consult the devils, the devil himself, try to figure out which way to go. Okay, he's going to do this in battle. Ezekiel writes about this. Verse 20, he shall stir up his power and his courage against the king of the south with a great army. So that would be Saudi Arabia. And the king of the south shall be stirred up to battle with a very great and mighty army, but he shall not stand, for they shall forecast devices against them. So again, the witchcraft, again, is being consulted in these political events. Because remember that Satan is in charge of world kingdoms. God delegated him to be in charge when he took it from Israel. And so Satan will put whoever worships him best at the positions that he wants, and the exception proves the rule on that one. So verse 26, yea, they that feed the portion of his meat shall destroy him, and his army shall overflow, and many shall fall down slain. And both these kings' hearts shall be to do mischief. That's an interesting word. Run that through the Psalms. That's a description of the Antichrist. How are they going to do mischief? And they shall speak lies at one table. So they'll have a council. They'll bring him in, have a peace treaty, and both of them are just lying like a dog. Okay? And you can't believe a word they say. The Muslims have a doctrine called hudna, where you could, it doesn't matter what you say. In 10 years, the agreement's done anyway. Okay? And it says, but it shall not prosper, for yet the end shall be at the time appointed. Okay, the end. Now, those two words, you can type them two words in a computer program and run that through the Bible, and you'll see that most of the time it's just referring to the end of something. Okay, the end of, you got it at the end of the Bible. But there is a time period called the end. It's not the end of the world. It is the end of Daniel's 70 weeks is what it's referring to. Let's see, how many references do I have there? Yeah, I got plenty there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, five of them right there. And you go to those five, you find other places. Let's try the obvious one, Matthew 24:13. And then we can go with the good definition in 1 Corinthians 15. The Bible defines its own terms. It's defined in English. You can't trust the Greek definitions of Strong's Concordance because he worked on the ASV. So those are untrustworthy. This is a famous Pentecostal verse. Matthew 24:13. But he that shall endure unto the end the same shall be saved. Okay, the Pentecostals are going to try to apply that to this age. They don't read the next verse. The gospel of the kingdom's preached. Okay, we don't preach that one today. The next verse, the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. That's when the Antichrist walks into the Jewish temple and has a human sacrifice. Okay, that was written by Daniel, Daniel 8. 16, they don't read that. Let them which be in Judea flee to the mountains. Why? It's all Israel. It's all about Israel. It's all about God judging the Jews. 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. How could you miss 21? For then shall be great tribulation. So the end is connected to the tribulation. 1 Corinthians 15:34. He defines it for us in the resurrection chapter. 1 Corinthians 15:23 and 24, okay, the resurrection, the first resurrection is divided in three sections like any harvest, okay? Any harvest, you'll have a first fruit, then you have the main harvest, then you have the gleanings. Okay, the first fruits, resurrection of Christ, Old Testament saints, main harvest, what we call the rapture, what the Bible calls the translation, and then the gleanings, post-tribulation rapture of the tribulation saints. 1 Corinthians 15:23, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Okay, we call that the rapture. Then, what comes after that? Cometh the end. What comes at the end? When he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even to the Father, and so forth and so on, going into the millennium. It's defined just as pretty as could be. And this helps us understand Hebrews chapter 3. You don't have to add a word, don't have to subtract a word. Believe the words as they are written to whom they're written. Hebrews chapter 3. You can do verse 6 if we want to do verse 6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? Who's we? Private interpretation will say Jewish Christians. There's no evidence of that. Who's we? What's the letter written to? Hebrews. So the we is the same we of the famous Lord's Prayer, which is not the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, because it's a plural pronoun. That's a Jewish prayer. That's why they're praying for the kingdom. That's why they're praying for daily bread, because that's the manna in the tribulation time period. So the we, if the writer's writing to the Hebrews like he said he was, but Christ is a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Tribulation. Chapter 3:14. Now here's one we could look at it from our perspective. For we, okay, now let's skip it. We, let's say that's Christians. Let's say that's the case. For we, Jewish Christians or Christians, we are made partakers of Christ. Okay, stop. When is a born-again believer made a partaker of Jesus Christ, where Jesus Christ is put in him and he's put in Christ? At the moment of faith, salvation. At that moment. But this says, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. That ain't me. That's not my mail. That's somebody else's mail. Now I can read it because all the Bible's written for me, but that sure isn't written to me. Okay, so that's written to Hebrews. And that's right in line, if we allow the Bible to say what it said to whom it said. Chapter 6, verse 4. This is a famous one. The Baptists always make this a hypothetical. Hypothetical from a hypocritical. Chapter 6, 4. For it is impossible for those who have once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted a good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance. Now, a Pentecostal will say, see, that says you can fall away. And see, it says you can't get it back either, if you're going to let it say what it said. Now, they always think they can get it back. But that says you can't. This is somebody who, Hebrews, living when? Chapter 1, verse 2, last days. Chapter 1, verse 2, it hath in these last days. If that Hebrew, under unbelief, chapter 3, takes the mark of the beast, he loses it, can't get it back, goes to hell. Okay? That's not for me. That's not for me at all. And so when we see the end all through here, this Bible, we'll see that that's how it's written to whom it's written. And this is where the Left Behind series that Tim LaHaye and Kurt Cameron and them produced is deceptive in a way. It's entertaining. It's probably clean entertainment. But the deception is that they're taking Christians into the tribulation. They're not shifting the doctrine to Israel. And they're not shifting it back to the Daniel 70 weeks. Now, if the first 69 weeks operated under Mosaic covenant, would not the last week finish it off? And that's the logic of it. Okay, and of course that's what it is. And that's why Jesus says you forgive a man until 70 times 7, and that's the end of the trib. And that's when Israel is forgiven and pardoned. Okay, back to Daniel 11:28. Then shall he return into his land with great riches, of course. And his heart shall be against the holy covenant. That's the agreement mentioned back in chapter 9, 24, 27. And he shall do exploits and return to his own land. At the time appointed, he shall return and come toward the south. But it shall not be as the former or as the latter. paragraph mark. For the ships of Shittim shall come against him. That's weird. Now, if you take that word and run that back to Isaiah 23, you're dealing with something that's, we could throw in the sphere of strange doctrine. Okay, ships, is that whatever? Is it boats on water? Is that something up there? Floating around, Star Wars, like chapter 10. I would lean that way more than anything. But again, that's some things that the Lord does hide from us mortals because it would blow our mind if we saw a lot of these things. Now that Isaiah 23 goes back to Tarshish, and it goes back to something to do with Satan's kingdom. So it's kind of iffy. You try to figure it out. For the ships of Shittim shall come against him, therefore he shall be grieved and return and have indignation against the Holy Covenant. So he's turning against Israel. So shall he do, he shall even return and have intelligence with them that forsake the Holy Covenant. Now see the word intelligence. Do you see how it's being used? It's a king, and he's receiving intelligence about a foreign enemy. This is the only time that word's found in the Bible. Okay, and I highly doubt that, I'm sure all the new Bibles change that, but that is in line with a term we know to be the CIA, or Central Intelligence Agency. Or you have the, you know, agencies over in Russia, the KGB, and then the Jews have their branch of that. And this is in line with the Antichrist, and I would dare say that the purpose of the intelligence agencies is not for your security and my security. It's to hide the deceptions and inner workings of the powers that be away from the people. Okay, that's the intent. There's a fellow who wrote a book years ago, The Confessions of an Economic Hitman. Anybody read that beside myself? Will John read that? Confessions of an Economic Hitman. I'd encourage you to read that. You have a whole, totally a different viewpoint on foreign policy after you read that. This guy admits what they do in countries where they come in and offer money from America to build their infrastructure, but the borrower is servant to the lender, and if these people don't meet the loan, the economic hitman comes in and changes regimes. Okay, and if that don't work, then they'll bring in the soldiers. Okay, and so you get a whole different viewpoint on these things when you read something like that from that gentleman. Okay, so this intelligence would not be for our security. That's not the intent. The intent, you see, to be a politician, you have to have a good memory of what lie worked last time, and you got to try another one. Or you can do the Soviet Union way, or Stalin's way, is you tell them a lie, and then tell them another one, and then tell them another one, and then tell another, and you never defend any of them, and they'll believe them. Pick and choose. That was the method that Obama seemed to choose. Okay, verse 31, and the arms shall stand on his part, arms as in army, and they shall pollute the sanctuary of strength. Again, Jewish, is this not Jewish, sanctuary? Some people call the church a sanctuary, which is fine, but in the context, this sanctuary is the Jewish temple. Revelation 11, the Gentiles come in and overcome it. And shall take away the daily sacrifice, so he removes that sacrifice. And they shall place the abomination that maketh desolate. Probably a statue of the Antichrist, because he's already committed the abomination of desolation, killed a Jewish evangelist, the Jewish one of the 144,000, sacrificed him, drank his blood, you know, ate his flesh, whatever. Okay, and that is really what the abomination of desolation is. Now, people say, they ain't going to do something like that. There's a church that already does it every Sunday morning, every day. They pretend. Now, we know they're pretending. But they are pretending to drink Christ's blood and eating his flesh. It's a mass occur. Okay? And they're pretending to do it, but the Antichrist will do it. And people will approve of it. Okay? And that's 31, 32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. This is how he deceives people, by flattery. But, the contrast, but the people that do know their God, who would that be? The Hebrews, that 144,000. Why? Because the abomination of desolation, verse 31, is the cue to them. Uh-oh, he's expecting us to worship him. Violation of the second commandment. We don't worship him. And they realize that the Antichrist is the Antichrist. And they believe in Jesus Christ. Okay, the 144,000. And now they know their God. And it says, that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And so they will be able to run around the world as they can and preach what gospel? The kingdom, Matthew 24:14. And they'll preach that to every nation. They don't have to learn tongues because that will be a gift given back to them. Picks it up where he left off, the Jewish sign gift. And he picks up the healing miracles, sign gifts again, all those Jewish sign gifts, picks them up again. And they'll run throughout the world. And then a few of the Jews, a tenth of them, will voluntarily stay into Jerusalem knowing that they will die in a religious sacrifice. Okay, now what gives us some more evidence of that? Verse 33. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. So, okay, so they're going out instructing people. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by flame, by captivity and by spoil many days. Now the word many days can just mean a bunch of days, but there's a couple places in the Bible where it's referring to 3.5 years. 1 Kings 18 verse 1, Elijah and Ahab, the contest. Ahab's a type of the Antichrist, Elijah's type of the, well, obviously he's the witness in the tribulation. And they have a 3.5 year drought. So 1 Kings 18:1, and I do believe I got a couple cross-references over there for another place for many days. I'll check it real quick. 1 Kings 18:1. Letter F, you got 1 Kings 2:38. Isaiah 20, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got 5 more references there. And lo and behold, I skipped Daniel. So I is going to write that in there. Okay, Daniel 11:33 should be written over there. 34, now when they shall fall, okay, that's the Jews of verse 32, they shall fall, they shall be hoping with a little help. So who's going to help them? People like Corrie ten Boom. Okay, and many shall cleave to them with flatteries. Okay, and that would take us into the judgment of the nations, Matthew 25. So what's going to happen to those who die by the sword or by the flame and by captivity and by spoil? 35, and some of them of understanding shall fall to try them. 1 Peter 1:7, the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold. And to purge and to make them white. That's the white raiments. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 and 11. That's the fifth seal judgment where they die under the altar in a Jewish sacrifice. There is more taught about that idea than church membership, baptism, and tithing put together, and all the Baptists are only worried about those three. Now, they don't really don't have to worry about this, but it sure does enlighten you about the Bible. Okay, it makes them white. That's their white robes, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. So all that just matches as beautiful as could be. The Bible is an amazing puzzle that, man, when you get them edges, them squared off edges, then you work in the middles, and it's just an amazing thing when you get it all put together. And you just sit back, like David said, whoa, I'm in awe of that book. 36, and the king shall do according to his will. Okay, so he does according to his will, Revelation 17:17, the demoniac kings will follow his will because God will guide them to do that. He shall exalt himself, magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. Okay, so there we got 2 Thessalonians 2, where the Antichrist, the son of perdition, goes into the temple, declares himself to be God, the same as the Papa Pizzeria over there, where he says, ex cathedra, I'm speaking as God. So this is the Antichrist. Now, how long is he going to be able to do that? And shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. God's wrath, God's anger, when God fires him. So God allows this to go on until he gets the United Nations and come together and he lights one match and torches them all. For that is determined shall be done. It's determined by God Almighty. 37, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. So he has got some Jewish blood in him, but yet he's got some Syrian blood in him. So he can go Arab, he can go Jew, but he can go both ways. Nor the desire of women. Now, that one you could go one of three ways. Okay? You could say bisexual, sodomite, or Muslim. Because a Muslim don't regard women, except for their personal pleasure. So you can go either way on that, or all three, I guess. Nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God. Now, this is an uppercase G, of forces, the God of forces. This is the famous, the force be with you. And this is why this electrical charge, where the Amish have this prohibition against electric, because they're thinking somehow it goes back to the devil, but yet they can do other things without having the electric. They can have a cell phone, but not a... I mean, you can go either way, all this stuff with the Amish. But this God of forces has something to do with electrical or lightning, because Jesus said he beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven, Luke 10:18. But in his estate shall he honor. Okay, now, it doesn't say he honors the God of forces. It says in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. You can go to political buildings, government buildings, and see symbols that honors Christianity. And right beside it, something that honors Satanism. So in his estate, he's going to have both sides. And in America, both sides have been running parallel from day one. So in his estate, shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not, shall be he honored with gold and silver, with precious stones, and with pleasant things. So see, he's playing the fence, both sides. Okay, and this is why you can see that. You can see that any government complex, you can see the Odd Fellows and the Masons got their symbolism, and then they'll maybe see a cross, and then maybe see the Ten Commandments, or a Bible, or something like that, or something honoring to God. In both sides, you'll see that. And that's what the Antichrist does. That's how you hoodwink people. That's like the Alfa Romeo car. One side's a cross, the other side's a reptilian eating a person. They're side by side. That's the famous for the Italians. Okay, 39. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange god. Hebrews 13:9 talks about strange doctrine. Jude verse 6 to 7 talks about strange flesh. Strange flesh is when fallen angels get blood, procreate with women, and they have a product that's called strange flesh. Okay, and so he has a strange God. So this God can go both ways, AC/DC, whatever. By whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. Okay, he shall cause them to rule over many. What? Them. The strange God. The ten demoniac kings of Revelation 17. Okay, these are demoniac kings. They're going to appear as men, but not be men. And Satan's going to rule over that. And they're going to comply with Satan according to Revelation 17, 17. Verse 40, and at the time of the end, there we got it again, shall the king of the south push at him. So Saudi Arabia, the king of the north, Turkey, Lebanon, Syria, Iran, you name it, any one of them Muslim countries, shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, with horsemen, with many ships. And king of the north coming with many ships. How do they do that? Ain't no water. That's where that ship may be coming in like this. So that's kind of strange. And he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over. He shall enter also into the glorious land. Okay, that's obvious, Israel. And many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom. Okay, that's modern-day Jordan. Moab, modern-day Jordan. Chief of the children of Ammon, northern part of Saudi Arabia. He shall stretch forth his hand also upon the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. So there's the part of the old Roman Empire. But he shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt, and the Libyans and the Ethiopians shall be at his steps. So that's Sudan, Ethiopia, Cush. Those are all part of the revised Roman Empire, the northern part of North Africa. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. So out of the east, Kuwait, Iraq, maybe further over into China, don't know how far over. Out of the north, Turkey, Iran, and so forth. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go forth with a great fury to destroy and utterly to take away many. So this is a last ditch stand. It's like a rat in a corner where he's just lashing out everywhere. And he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas in the glorious holy mountain. So now he's come down to Jerusalem. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. So the end is Revelation 19. The rider on the white horse comes down and destroys the Antichrist, false prophet, throws him into the bottomless pit. Just like many famous plots of movies where you have the hero and the villain and they're fighting over a woman. And the hero's winning, or the villain's winning all the way through. And miraculously at the end, the hero wins and throws the bad guy into prison or shoots him or whatever. Marries a fair maiden and they live happily ever after. And that's all Bible, man. They don't have any new plots. And we, of course, all you got to do is read the last of the chapter, last of the book. And man, we got some good news from in ahead of us for saved people when you read that last chapters of the Bible. Okay, I kind of went through that fast. That's chapter 11. We'll try 12 next week. Any questions or comments?